And welcome to the Hackerspace Hour, and I'm joined by Flyco and GMC. And I think it's time for some epic theme music. Really? I actually wasn't ready for that. Oh, sorry. Let me just go at and Steve's doing a start too, so it's I wanted him to be also, but he won't join us next time, I think, on the next conference. Welcome back to the Hackerspace Hour, and we actually have a special guest from the United States, Flyco. Good afternoon.
Hello, thank you for inviting me, Dr.
No problem. Pleasure to have you with us. So, yeah, it's the last day of ETH7, and I'm a bit sad because the conference is really great.
Yeah, we're past the halfway point, and you know, people are starting to feel a little bit sleepy and maybe a little bit sad.
Yeah, it's a good conference, small conference, so there's a lot of great people, even some international guests like you, and it's if you ask those people, it makes the conference even more special.
Thank you. I'm really honored. Everyone here has been so interested in the fact that I came and that I joined, you know, everyone at the event, and I had such a good time. At some of the previous events that I promised I said I'd be here. And so we were, and part of that was a build up and working on things together with people in that spirit of having projects and putting something together and then sitting back and watching, you know, something you've built.
Yeah.
Even being on the radio here with you and doing stuff at Binary Voice has been amazing. I had no idea that I'd be involved with the station, that I'd be speaking and you know, joining you. So it's really interesting what can happen.
Yeah, you're being a central party from which you're proposition 52A.
Yeah, 52A.
Mm-hmm.
It's important.
Yeah, especially the radio for such a small event. It's awesome people who are doing it. GMC is the technician now.
And you.
It's great.
It's fun to do.
Awesome. So, Flyco.
Sure.
All the way from the United States, and you've been traveling throughout all of Europe.
Yeah, this year I've been traveling quite a bit. Yeah, we were speaking earlier, that's how I found out you were doing the Hackerspace Radio Show, and I absolutely had a lot to share, and I wanted to say a little bit about that trip. After 2063 in Germany over Christmas, I planned with Emmanuel to go on a trip through the Western Balkans.
Yeah.
He had some family out there, and I had a friend that had actually been an exchange student when I was in high school.
Oh,
and he'd been asking me, come to Macedonia. And so this trip sort of developed, it sort of grew. And so I said to Emmanuel, yeah, sure, I'll join you. I actually have a friend that wants to come out to Skopje in Macedonia.
Yeah.
And Emmanuel's route and what we ended up doing basically took us through. We started in Croatia and we visited, I think, about six countries.
Wow.
Throughout Western Balkans there. And we were doing radio, obviously, for Off the Hook and letting people know, like listeners and 2,600 members, just letting them know that we'd be in the area. And we got all these emails and responses. And there's quite a thriving hackerspace scene out there in Western Balkans. And we ended up in some pretty unlikely places where you wouldn't imagine there'd be a hackerspace. And they really amazed us.
Yeah, but it's like the old Balkan. I didn't even know that. Hackerspace is all hackers. You know, you see all the phase hackers, you know, the bad guys.
Yeah,
that's a big thing.
That's really, really big in America. Like, you know, we're constantly having to fight this attitude that hackers are evil or they're scary.
It's scary. It's in your credit card.
Yes. But the reality is, it's just not true. And we found a lot of support. For, you know, these spaces were awesome. You know, not only were there spaces, and there were hackers out in places like Zagreb in Croatia, or Ljubljana in Slovenia,
mm-hmm.
And in Macedonia, there was a really fledgling, very new hacker space in Macedonia, in Skopje. They were really awesome. They were great places. Cyberpipe in Ljubljana was in a former dance club,
wow.
And they had a whole basement, and it was really nice. They just sort of reconfigured the space, which is already like sort of modern and, you know, very nice design. They just reconfigured, put in some servers and, you know, some hardware hacking benches and that kind of thing, and some terminals. And they actually have a museum of old computers and stuff, which we did actually work. Yeah, so that was amazing to see that. And then the biggest problem was that their internet is too fast, and they want more people to
too fast.
Yeah, they want more people to come to the space, but because the internet in Ljubljana is so cheap and fast, they would stay home. So they're really trying to, like, promote events and have people gather.
So I've also heard stories about the hackerspace on the beach in this region. Have you been there?
No, it
was one of those nights, like last night, so I don't remember which one it was.
Sure. No, not familiar with that one. But I mean, it was amazing. They're everywhere. And then this one, Cyberpipe in Ljubljana, was open for a while. I mean, it was a little bit more established than places like in Skopje. They were just starting, and they had maybe like one small room about the, a couple meters across this way and that, and that was it. And they were just getting started. So, but the interesting thing is, they're, you know, you see them at different stages, but the ones that are really developed, like in Zagreb, I don't have the name of it, it's failing me. But in Zagreb and in Bologna, some of the more established ones actually got started with seed money, and they're subsidized and they get help from the government, which, well, again, like the, it's
a lot of support.
I don't expect that in an old East Bloc country.
Sure,
and it's quite contrary to what we're getting in the States. People are barely able to start, and they're like, getting by and trying to get people to pool money together. And charging dues and stuff like that. But they go to a space that's sponsored, and not sponsored, but, you know, subsidized. They get government. And there's problems with that too, but they get a lot of support. They're not, you know, outcasts, so they don't have to be underground or, you know, constantly working against the community. These people are, like, more part of the community. That was especially true in Croatia, in Zagreb. They're really tied with like the political movements, and they're sort of outspoken. They don't let stuff slide. You know, they're very attuned to, like, the politics and stuff in the area.
So
that's just the same way. I think those are the main places.
So, like, a lot of political activists.
It's very intertwined, the two movements, and I think that's it's an occurring reoccurring thing. It's how intertwined we are.
Yeah.
And it was really a joy to visit the spaces and to just broadcast it and then have people welcome you and show you their space and walk around and see their town and hear what they're dealing with. And then I can compare it with things I've seen in the States. And just in the past couple of years, we've been seeing a lot more hackerspaces in the States around the world. So, contrasting, sharing information, learning how they're able to pay for certain things or what kinds of events they're having, what are their problems, what things are good, and what can we learn. And it's that sharing and stuff that I think is gonna continue to strengthen the movement itself. So
let's discuss more of this after a bit of music.
Stories about his trip throughout the Balkan and the hackerspaces he saw. Could you tell us maybe more about did you see much differences between spaces in the Balkan and the United States? Because it's a really big open question. I mean, not every space, it's like full of hackers, yes, open source people, yes, people who want to create lots of things, yes, the activists.
Yes,
I was thinking about the specialization and sort of the diffusion in the US, in particular in Seattle. There's a lot of spaces, they know each other, but people sort of break away because they're interested in one specific type of project. And because it's not centralized and sort of supported and financed, it's not a repository for all things, and sort of diverse, people have to sort of get along on their own. They don't have a choice but to, survive. And I think as what we could do better in the States and what we could learn from what I saw was that people ought to stick together because we need to, if we didn't have to think about surviving, paying rent, having time or
maintaining space.
If we had a lot more support and unity, I think people would be able to devote their time and energy into more projects and continuing on. I think one thing I wanted to say was that it's still growing all over the world, and
this is not a new movement.
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's just the last couple of years. It's really
exploded.
And when I was in countries in the Balkans that did not have an actual space, we had done some radio. And we were getting emails from people. We were meeting up with hackers that were working on open source stuff. That were trying to learn English from us and just sharing how they found out about 2600, for instance, the magazine, and how they how they identify and relate. And it was really, really, really interesting because they want spaces too. If they don't have them, there's people there that are doing these things, and it's like an ecological step for them to have a place to meet locally, and that really. I think it's really important because you can work on your project, you can have sort of a home base and learn about what other people are doing in your community, and the information sharing is crucial. And I think that's going to hurt us in my community in Seattle. I think people going off in different directions just because they have to survive and they don't agree or they don't necessarily enjoy what one group is doing, they don't get that knowledge sharing. And one of the great things about spaces is you can go there, you can ask a question, you can just inquire. There's teaching and learning opportunities, and then you get a moment at a hackerspace. You can in one instance be talking about something, some information that you know, and in the other instance asking someone, or they can be sharing and teaching you about something they have expertise in, and all of a sudden maybe you're them teaching the same thing, or you're, you know, becoming a channel for, you know, someone else. Maybe, and even, it's not always technical stuff. This is not, you know, specific to, like, computer software or telephones or just soldering.
It's completely diverse. I mean, yes. The definition space, for example, you have, like, a lot of people with an open source background, a lot of people who do security, but also people who do a lot of photography and makeup bots. If people are interested in stuff and you want to learn or do stuff and you want to learn with each other, I mean, a hackerspace is quite diverse because what is a hackerspace? A hackerspace is what you make from it and what you do with it. And it's a pity the spaces don't work together in one big space where you can learn much more. It's much more cozy when you have, like, a lot of people in one big space.
Right. We have these hackathons, you know, where it's been coordinated the hackerspaces mailing lists, where just several hackerspaces just at the same time hack on projects. Actually, a while back, there was like this project where people put the camera against the wall and a projector, and the other space would also do that. So basically, you would extend your own space by projecting another space on an empty wall. So you would, in that way, visually link together the spaces. So that would be really cool to try it.
We talked about that a little bit in Seattle. I believe it was NYC Resistor in New York wanting to link with HBL so that we could have a live feed all the time. But people were sort of, you know, where do we put the camera and what do we do in front of the camera and who's watching? No, it's brilliant, you know. And
I think it's just like the room is twice the size it is and you can see each other. I mean, if you do that and decide to work on a project together, well, maybe it would be a bit confusing if you stand up and try to walk in the other room.
Absolutely.
Yeah, some music? Yeah, go ahead.
Before the music break about hackathons and how to get people to do your stuff. And I think we actually should do that in Holland. Maybe joined by Belgium Hackerspace to do something cool.
Like, yeah, sure. I mean, we can just see when the next global hackathon is and then join that.
Why not? Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Yeah, I think that's more doable. It's not an event per se. You're not having to do all these extra logistics. You can. It's more impromptu and it doesn't have to be as comprehensive. You know, it's very, very focused and can even be virtual in some sense. We talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea, though. And part of that is seeing and display, seeing what other people are doing. And I think the camps really help articulate that.
Yeah.
So people, yeah, they can, you know, check out what other people are doing and then network and make contact and share in the future either online or at smaller events or hackathon like you originally.
You also have you have the hackerspace in The Hague. Is it well, if you look at the hackerspace, do a lot of people have projects or just do a lot of stuff for their own?
Yeah, well, of course they have their own projects, yeah. So like for example, Jurt is also here. He also runs camps for children, computer camps basically. He wanted the assistant to do a quizzes, so you know, like four buttons and presses first they get to get the answer. So for him it was an opportunity to get into Arduino's for example. And well, he never did anything with electronics or microcontrollers before. He just got one of our members and imports them to the Netherlands. So he got one of the boards, he got some components from the internet and some wires and some boxes and he just started working and within 2-3 weeks he had a nice quiz system.
Oh, sweet. Because when you started the Rest Foundation, were there like a lot of projects going on?
It was a bit kickstarting. So, I mean, we started the space in September, right after hacking at random. We had some meetings at my office in the evenings, and we tried to put some content in that, like discuss electronics, or we had a guide that was something about Android hacking, how to program it. But we found that was nice in the beginning, but I mean, it's difficult to find something that everyone's interested in, because, so basically we've given up on that and just had a pizza and some beer, and then finally we had the space, and that then really started off, because then people could come in and diverge and work on projects on their own, or with other people in subgroups, and it worked better than we don't have anything that everyone is involved with, actually, except the space itself, I guess, but, yeah. I find that really exciting. That's one attribute I completely relate to that. Like, the feeling that people are doing individual stuff, some people are collaborating with a couple people. Every now and then you get a big project for the whole space, but that's more, you know, rare, and it's usually for an event or a camp or something that you guys want to get together and show, really show off a little bit. That's exciting because there's all this stuff going on.
It is, yeah.
People intersecting and all that teaching and learning, again, just goes back and forth and back and forth. It's just a thriving sort of really alive sense. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's also lively because we have several rooms in our space. So, yeah, you'll be sitting on the couch and you think, oh, that's an interesting conversation. And you think, okay, let's play a bit of pinball. Then you walk onto the electronics lab and well, someone's working there, so you draw some diagrams together. And then the guy goes soldering. So, you want to work again. And people are hacking on I don't know, software routers. And there's all the dynamics going on. It's really beautiful.
But it's more productive, too.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, things get done.
Yeah. Because you can share, you're not being like lone wolf, trying to just go it alone with no help and just searching in a web browser to try to figure everything out. You are amongst other people, and it's just productive.
Absolutely. It brings insights that you wouldn't have when you're in your own room, because people tend to look at stuff in just a slightly different angle, and it provides insights that you would never have gotten. That's, for me, the real added value of this hackerspace.
Absolutely.
It's also interesting, but I'm sorry for interrupting you, but it's also interesting to see, I mean, we have a really open policy, basically anyone can come visit us if there's members there. And it also brings in all kinds of interesting people. I mean, we had at one time, completely non-hacker person who just rang the bell and said, hey, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and hey, I heard you came to Matt here. We saw the bottle of Matt, and we talked about what she was doing, and so you meet all kinds of people, and not just the ones you would expect or always meet already at work or at school, or all different people, and it makes your own life so much richer.
Right, leaves room for chance.
Sorry?
Leaves room for chance.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Wonderful, yeah. The spice of life, yeah. That's brilliant.
Because I feel like how the last year developed, especially after hacking the Netherlands, there's a lot of more, some sort of structured, about the hacker scene in the Netherlands, because before how I see it, I'm not really familiar with it, I'm still new in the whole scene, but especially, I saw the meetings because of the 2017, because Club Hack was basically the same meet up in Utrecht with some hackers and had some good food and beer. There was nothing actually about it anymore. And when I saw Hacking Netherlands announced too, as a guest, you got around data, registration space and skills, it exploded. We are doing a nice conference now.
Yes, yeah, but
yeah, I'm discussing this. I mean, there's like a real gap between, what I'd like to say, the olden days, the Amsterdam scene, around the Squatter, the Hectic Magazine, all this stuff, and what we have now, I think, because if you look, for example, at the events, like Hacking at Random, What the Heck, Hall 2001, they were, up until Hacking at Random, organized basically by the same people. There was not a lot of influx of newer, younger people like yourself. And I think that's really coming around now. Like, the guys at ETH Zero, they bring in a lot of new blood to say, what you're doing with 2600, right? It's great to see the whole new generation of hackers, basically, come out and join and get things moving.
Yeah, I love being a part of that too. If you asked me a year ago that I'd be sitting here now, I mean, it'd be, I would say crazy. It's totally unexpected to be so involved and so welcome. It is important. I mean, I'm starting to see other generations too. And it's just amazing because, and that's one of the other wonderful parts about the spaces is you get all people from all walks of life and serious layers of generations, and they can all collaborate and share and learn together in you know, one environment. And I think it's just so cool to learn something from someone who's, you know, a couple years younger than you, and you're just like, whoa, I mean, it blew me away. Like, it's crazy, like, with, like, how, you know, into, like, Arduinos and stuff. I never grew up with that kind of thing. And I, having only gotten involved in hackerspace maybe, like, 2 years ago, like, in a regular sense, when I was that age, like, in middle school or high school even, I didn't have any sort of official, like, hackerspace, any place to go, and it's just amazing to now go and be a part of it. And I don't look back. I just want to do more and be involved and engaged, and I'm so happy that the younger generations, like, have a place to go, and they can, you know, teach and learn as much, you know, it's very cool.
Because when I started 2600, it started like an experiment. Like, I did no PR, like absolutely nothing. I just started the IC channel, and random people would show up to look if there was something in the Netherlands, and it was a total experiment. I never expected to be still doing this stuff.
How long has it been going on? Because I only joined, I guess, after Hacking Random, but you were already doing this for a while then.
We did the first meeting April 2009, which is about 1 year and a few months, yeah.
Okay.
And we started with 3 people, and the biggest meeting was 30 people, and we were like, oh.
It felt wow. To get the pub, yeah.
Yeah, but, and also, like, we met some people from New York and London. We did the 2600 meetings there, and they were like, yeah, we get like 30, 40 people a month, and we're like, wow, we at that time we got like 10 or 12 people every month. We're like, whoa, that's big. Like, 2-3 months after that, we got like a huge explosion of people from all over the country. And I was like, wow, that blew my mind. It was awesome.
I think the great thing about these 2600 meetings is you just meet informally. You can just, it's about anything, and I mean, there's no pressure to get things done or whatever. You're just sitting back enjoying some food and a beer. And, yeah,
yeah,
it's very similar in Seattle. 2600 meetings are just people showing up and it's just listening and talking, just conversation. People talking about work, and not work, and you know, things they'd rather be doing instead of work.
Yeah,
and students, and you know, People from really interesting realms, you know, people you would never ordinarily meet and just sort of thrown together and just talking. You're like, no pressure, no agenda, no timetable. You know, you can sit there for a couple hours and just like,
wow, stories. Yeah, really laid back. And you hear some of the funniest stories. And then, you know, you bump into them at like a hackerspace. Or one instance is my friend, I'm blanking on his name. At any rate, he was at a meeting and basically I started volunteering at a telephone museum. I bumped into him there. And then so it's just very bizarre to see him at this telephone museum volunteering with people from a telephone company, and it's a different, sort of different place. It's sort of a hackerspace for people involved in AT&T or Quest, and it's called the Museum of Communications. They allow people to come and look at the phones and stuff like that. And he was there, right? Same, Chronomex, that's him. Chronomex was at the Museum of Communications, and I only just started going to Spacey Kennedy, and it was cool. Like, we're the two hackers there working on the working at the museum.
Mm.
So you get these interesting things. Same thing with like at Hackerbot Labs. You know, I see.
Yeah.
A couple people that have been at 2600 meetings and they're at HBL, you know, so everybody sort of participates and shows up and goes to some of the different places, and you just, it's bizarre, you bump into them and you've already met, you know, that kind of thing. It's just really nice to have old friends and new friends, and I don't know. with us when I do the policy summit and our meetings, like a lot of people from different hackerspaces will show up. So it's somehow some sort of monthly hackerspace meetup with people from random data, translation space, movement space, Amsterdam or whatever.
Yeah, so also a lot of people that are strictly associated with the hackerspace.
I don't know, like really old school guys with a lot of front freaking. I'm 18 and people will show up which are like 55 or something, because it doesn't matter. It's the knowledge which comes and he has like great stories.
Absolutely.
I'm way too young. I wasn't part of anything like that, so that's good to hear.
I did a bit of front freaking in my old days.
I haven't.
Okay. I haven't.
You should.
Yeah, I've been to Brussels once before HAR, because I flew in to Brussels, and then I sort of staked it out, found the hostel, and then proceeded to get lost on my way to HAR, which is a long story, and it's an infamy as folklore. But so I spent the week at HAR, because basically I wanted to be there and build up. But then the week after, similar to this event, I had a couple days, and I walked around, but I didn't check out the space. I wasn't even there, I didn't check hacker spaces all over again. I think in the future I will do things like that. And I don't know, I think there's one in Antwerp.
There is one, yeah. They just opened 2 weeks ago, I guess. Yeah, they're a bit underground. I mean, they have an underground show, but the whole Belgium hacker space is just like real, it's a cool community, and they're all working together, you know, they're different spaces, and it's beautiful to see that when you build one space, and you see the same guys that founded the space in the city running with the 50 kilometers away. They're everything together there.
I actually, I just heard that. While I was here, that one was, I think it was when we were talking about the KLM flight. I heard about a space opening up in Antwerp, and I was like, whoa, you know, my jaw dropped. That's wild. I'll be in Antwerp. And so maybe I can go to both.
Yeah, you should definitely. Yeah. I mean, really, that was like this open party at the rush base. Yeah, we just threw a party with some music and beer and food. These guys really made an effort to actually, they put up a program with lectures, like 2-3 tracks going on at the same time, and they had a really excellent barbecue and DJs at the end. And I mean, they really put in the effort to make this happen. And wow. I can see what they did to the space. I mean, decorate, I mean, we just moved in and put our stuff there. They painted the walls and put cabling in there, and it's really, they really put really effort in.
Like, close attention to detail, and yeah, like, really like a labor of love. I would be interested. Maybe we'll research it, and, you know, on the 18th, or, you know, my last day, I'll stop in before I catch my plane or something. Yeah. Yeah. Anything's possible. It's really, really, really cool. So glad to be a part of it as it's growing, and just, you know, sharing it. It's been really wonderful to sit and talk about it too. I mean, again, I would never guess I'd be sitting in Holland talking about this movement and just sharing and, you know, telling stories and you know, being related in this like community. Just, it's very, 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 very cool, very different, and just thrilling.
Yeah. Maybe some time for some quick musical jingle, maybe.
It's always almost over, and I really hate to say it, but, you know,
how do you say the good things come to an end?
All good things must come to an end.
Yeah, so
parting is such sweet sorrow.
Yeah.
So I actually want to thank everyone who made the event great. Bruno, who did a lot for the radio. Thank you for that. And for the Proposition 52. Definitely, it's important.
If I have fallen short on the radio, I'm just reminded I've been working with my big friend John here on Prop 52.
Yeah.
And we're collecting signatures in the parking lot.
Yes.
Okay, now a serious call out, and that's not a joke. I'm looking for hackers that really want to help me build a website, which will be a very cool website. It's a request coming out of the European Parliament, and I do think that some people do want to help me out on this one.
You know, we start taking over your show now.
But I want to thank Flyco for being an awesome kid.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I really like your stories, and I hope we meet again at the next conference.
Absolutely. I'm sure our paths will cross, and we'll stay connected and move on into the future.
Nice. And I also want to thank DMC for being an awesome guy.
That's cool too.
Oh, an awesome guy, just all general. Cool.
Yeah. We had some nice conversation. It was great. Yeah, thanks. Maybe shows. Work with you these past days to do the Hackerspace Hour, and let's see more of them on the Hackerspace Radio.
Yeah, and maybe see you at the next conference with more Hackerspace Hour Radio.
Definitely.
Thank you.